That's verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. As long as you thank God for the food that's in front of you, God says it's okay. Whether it's all meat, all vegetable, or somewhere in between, it's fine. Okay, now turn to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. And look, some of this is going to be reviewed next week, because as I said, I'm preaching a whole sermon against the Seventh-day Adventists, but it's the Word of God, and you know what, we're going to cover it here. It's in this chapter. It's great information. And I want you to see this in Colossians chapter 2. And you know, whenever you preach a sermon as a preacher, whenever you write a sermon, you're about to preach it, God always kind of gives you examples ahead of time. Because I just gave the gospel to a Seventh-day Adventist a couple days ago in the park. And it's like, I give the gospel to this guy, and I'm going through it, and he keeps bringing up the Sabbath day. He keeps talking about, and look, here's the thing. I give him the invitation, and look, this is Verity Baptist Church, Pompaca. He's like, oh, you guys have church on Saturday. He's like, man, that's great. I said, well, we have a church in Manila on Sunday. Oh. I said, it's like, praise the Lord, a church that meets on Saturday. But wait a minute. Oh, you have a church that meets on Sunday, too. It's like, that's terrible. That's sinful, right? But it's like, I'm trying to give the gospel, and he keeps bringing up the Sabbath day. And what I kept telling him is, what does this have to do with getting to heaven?
Right.
I said, I don't care about that. More important is knowing you're going to heaven. I kept bringing it back to salvation, and he kept bringing it back to the Sabbath day. Over, and he kept bringing it back to the law and how we have to keep the law and everything. And I mean, and he told me it's by believing. When I said, what does it take to be saved? And I said, anopa. And then all of a sudden the other stuff comes out. He says, you got to be righteous. I said, well, the Bible says, wulang sinumang matuid. And he's like, yeah, but you got to try. It's like, you're not righteous. You don't keep the law. You sin. You make mistakes. It's like, look, we're all sinners that need a Savior.
Amen.
Your works don't save you. I mean, it's plain as day in the Bible. But look, unsaved people, they don't need to get into an argument about the Sabbath. They need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
They'll understand the Sabbath after they get saved. It's like, well, you just entered into the rest of the Sabbath. Oh, okay, now I get it, right? And you know what? He kept arguing about the Sabbath. He didn't end up getting saved. But let me show you here in Colossians 2, where I also turned him. I showed him Romans 14. I went to Colossians 2. Notice this in verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, Colossians 2, verse 13, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You say, what is that talking about? Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now, let me just say this as a side point here. When we're talking about drink, when you're not supposed to judge someone in respect of a certain drink they drink, well, if there's a verse that says it's wrong to drink alcohol, which there is,
amen,
then that's still wrong.
Right.
And that's not my judgment. That's what the Bible says. But in terms of somebody drinking and eating certain things and saying, I think this is okay, or I think this is wrong, I think it's wrong to eat meat, I think it's wrong to eat vegetables, or whatever the diet would be, the Bible says anybody judge you in these things. Or respect of an holy day. Say, what is holy day? Well, like a holiday. Right? Holy day, holiday. So nowadays, we don't take our holidays as seriously as they took their holidays, because they were meant to be like holy days, but you see, it's basically the same word here, right? And so basically, if somebody wants to celebrate Easter, praise the Lord. If they don't want to celebrate Easter, then that's fine too. Now, I would be disappointed if somebody intentionally didn't come to our church today because it's Easter Sunday, and they come every other Sunday except Easter. I would be very disappointed in that, but I also wouldn't criticize them about it. It's like, okay, and that's fine. That's their opinion, right? And so here's the thing. If you want to celebrate a certain day, you can. My family, we celebrate Christmas. You might say, Brother Stuckey, I don't think it's right to celebrate Christmas, pagan or... Well, look, well, we don't teach our kids about Santa Claus.
Right.
We teach them about Satan Claus, not Santa Claus. I think I preached a whole sermon about that on Christmas time. So I don't think it's wrong to celebrate Christmas, but you know, some people do, and that's perfectly fine if they don't want to celebrate. We don't have to push our beliefs on them either, okay? Or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. So I show him Colossians 2, verse 16, of the Sabbath days. Because the Sabbath day was Saturday, okay? But there was also other days of rest in the Old Testament. And what he told me is, well, it says Sabbath days, so it's all the Sabbath days except the Sabbath day every week. I'm just like, how do I even respond to that? I mean, any day that would be called a day of rest, any day that's a Sabbath, I mean, that would, and I explained to him, we don't follow the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because Jesus fulfilled that on the cross. You say, what scripture do you have for that? Colossians 2, verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. What the Bible's saying is Jesus nailed these things to the cross. Now, here's the thing. It's still wrong to kill. It's still wrong to commit adultery. However, the Sabbath day was a picture of Jesus Christ. And the same guy tells me, well, you know, when I ask him, well, why don't you sacrifice animals? He said, well, that was fulfilled by Jesus. And I said, that was not the only thing that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, though. And he's right. There were certain things fulfilled. The law still applies. The moral law. But in terms of like cleanliness laws that were a picture of Jesus Christ, those are done away because they were merely meant to be a picture of Jesus Christ. And you've got these atheists that mock the Bible for these laws. And we see them and they're beautiful because they're a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. And here's the thing. All of those laws are actually good laws anyway. They're just not requirements. It's actually healthy to avoid eating the unclean animals. It would actually be good for you. There's a reason why they're unclean. It's just not a sin to eat those animals, okay? Because Jesus fulfilled them on the cross. And I showed him this, and you know what? It just went over his head, okay? Now, turn in your Bible to Romans 14. Romans 14. Let me give you a couple examples of some doubtful disputations that we as Baptists could argue about in church, because I don't want to people to get in arguments about this over different opinions on stuff. And I want you to understand something. So many people love to get their opportunity to be a preacher, right? And they're not preaching a sermon, but it's like, man, I'm going to preach my mini sermon to somebody else at church for 5 minutes and tell them why they should change this. It's like, that is not your place to do that. Amen. And you will never find me going to people outside of this pulpit and telling them, you need to change this. I don't do that. I preach what the Bible says behind the pulpit, and you know what? I keep my personal opinions to myself. I give advice from the pulpit, and I see people that don't follow it. You know what? I don't say anything to them. That's their choice, okay? It's not your place to go outside the pulpit and tell people where they got to make all these changes in their life. Right. Let me give you some examples of things that could cause some arguments, and it's like, you know, honestly, people should just keep their mouths shut. And one big thing is clothing. Clothing causes a lot of arguments in Baptist churches. You say, Brother Stuckey, you know, shouldn't that be preached? Well, I've preached whole sermons on clothing. I preach sermons that people could get offended. But you know what? I don't go outside the pulpit and tell people, you got to make this change, right? Let me give you an example. The Bible teaches we should dress modestly. Amen. Now, here's the thing. If we were to talk about nakedness, there's a clear line given of this is nakedness between the knee and the waist, okay? And then this area is a bit of a source of debate. But here's the thing. That gives you a set thing. This is wrong, this area of your body being exposed. But what is modest? Well, you know what? That can be a matter of opinion depending on who the person is. We should all seek to dress modestly. However, your opinion of modesty might be a little bit different than my opinion. Right. You might have a stricter standard than me. For example, let's say, you know, you say, I want my wife to have a dress down to her ankles. Okay, I mean, nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't have that strict of a standard because, you know, as long as the nakedness is covered, I would consider that to be modest. But somebody might have a more strict standard. That is okay. The problem would be if somebody causes a fight about it. Right. Or, for example, you know, I personally, I don't think it's a sin to wear jeans with holes in them that are below the knee. But I'll be honest with you, I would not feel comfortable wearing jeans that have holes in them below the knees. But I'm not going to say it's a sin either. Because none of their nakedness is being exposed. I wouldn't want my kids to do that. But here's the thing. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that either. Because I don't have a verse that would say it's wrong to wear jeans with holes in them below your knee. I'm not sure it even existed until the modern times. It's like an issue now, right? But it's just like, I can't say it would be a sin. I mean, look, I've had jeans before where, you know, you're outside playing football or basketball and they get holes in them. I've never bought jeans that already had holes, right? I don't know why you'd pay twice as much money for half as many clothes, right? But you know what? People do that. It's like, Well, here's the thing. As long as it's not showing off their nakedness, I can't point to a verse where I would say it's wrong. I don't know whether it'd be modest or not. I mean, I just wouldn't feel comfortable doing it myself, I would say. Do you see how that's a bit of a gray area situation? People have different opinions on how, you know, kids should be dressed, kids that are babies. Now, my personal standpoint is that they're not at the age of accountability, so it's not even, I mean, obviously, our kids wear clothes, and we try to dress them up for church and stuff, but you know what, when kids are 1 year old, it's not really weird for them to be, like, without wearing their clothes. They don't even understand. Just like Adam and Eve, once they sinned, oh, wow, we're naked. It's kind of like kids when they reach that age of accountability. So for me, it's not really a big deal how my 1 year old or my 3 year old dresses. However, some people, it's a big deal to them. And look, that's perfectly fine. If your standard is more strict than mine, I don't want to try to get you to change your standard. And I'll show you why later in the sermon, why that's important. It is okay that we form different lines in the sand. That's perfectly fine. There are some things I might be more strict than you, and there might be some things you're more strict than me. It's perfectly fine, because those aren't things like, thus saith the Lord. There are plenty of thus saith the Lord's in the Bible, but in things that are gray area situations, it's not worth getting into a big fight and trying to criticize other people when you don't even have a verse that shows you're right. It's just your opinion, okay? We're not talking about somebody tells you at church, hey, I killed somebody last night. Well, I can't judge you. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about things that are just areas that could cause debate and division, and they're not even things where it's like it's a clear verse in the Bible. One thing is clothing. Another thing is worldliness. Now, we preach against worldliness, but isn't worldliness kind of a gray area situation? What's worldly? What's not worldly? You know, there's certain things that I might not feel comfortable with because I might consider them worldly, and you might not consider them worldly. It's okay for us to form a different line in the sand. Okay? Because ultimately, God's the one that's judging us, and he's going to bring to light all the things that are even hidden in the heart, the Bible says. Or here's another example. There are religions, and this is not my position, but there are religions and people that are against drinking caffeine. Right? There are people that are against drinking coffee and against drinking Coke. The Mormons are very famous for that. Mormons owned a share of Coca-Cola while preaching it was wrong to drink caffeine. Well, I mean, you make money off of it. I mean, owning part of Coke, you made a lot of money, right? It's like, how about being a hypocrite? Or, I mean, you know what the most common country is to export beef? India. Talk about being hypocrites. Talk about the love of money. It's against eating meat, but we'll just sell it to somebody else to eat. It's like, what in the world, right? Look, I'm not against drinking coffee or drinking caffeine, but you know what? There are people that have that opinion. I don't know if there's anyone at our church who does have an opinion or not. Now, I would try to get them to avoid Brother Dexter, because that could be like his love for coffee, right? Nobody, you know? It's like, but it's just like, you know what? It's perfectly fine if someone says, I don't think I should drink coffee. I think caffeine's bad for you, as long as they don't make it a fight. That is a topic that's very gray area. There's verses that say it's wrong to drink alcohol, but you know, with drinking caffeine, it's like people can have different opinions, and that's perfectly fine, okay? It's not worth making a big issue over. So point number one is this, just examples of doubtful disputations. There are a lot of examples, and one thing I've found is this, people often hold their opinions more forcefully than things that are direct commandments in the Bible. If somebody has an opinion about something, it's like, everybody must believe this or I'll be mad, right? It's like, my opinion, and I'm sure everybody knows this, I believe soccer is the greatest sport in the world. But, you know, am I going to spend my whole life trying to convince everybody? We're going to have a seminar here, right? A special seminar. Cancel soul winning. I'll go through all the reasons why soccer is a better sport than basketball. And basketball is my second favorite sport. But I'm going to go through all the reasons why soccer is the world's greatest sport. And people often hold their opinions very seriously. It's just like, you know what? It's okay if people have different opinions on gray area topics, right? That is okay. Point number one, examples of doubtful disputations. Point two, judging your brother. Okay, what does the Bible say about judging your brother? Verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, Romans 14, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. The Bible teaches here in verse 7, this is a very profound verse, that none of us live to ourselves. And what that means is this. You say, Brother Stuckey, I'm committing this sin, but it does not affect anybody else. Well, what about Romans 14, verse 7? None of us liveth to himself. You think that your sinful life doesn't affect other people? What about Romans 14, verse 7? None of us liveth to himself. When you do wrong, you affect other people, whether you realize it or not. None of us liveth to himself, and none of us die to ourselves, the Bible says. Okay? Your lives, in the way you live your lives, they affect other people, according to the Bible. Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? So what the Bible's trying to say here is this in the first several verses, verses 7 through 9. Look, Jesus died for everybody. Everybody. Amen. And we're not just talking about everybody. We're talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Right. I mean, Jesus died for everybody, but we're specifically referring to those that get saved. And it's like when you're getting into a big argument with your fellow brother in Christ, remember that Jesus died for that brother in Christ, and you're supposed to love your brother or sister in Christ. Amen. Even if they're obnoxious. You're supposed to love your brother and sister in Christ. Okay, that's what the Bible teaches. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so kind of the example would be is if there's divisions in church, where there's this group of the church that says, you know what, we sit at the vegetarian table, okay? And then we got people sitting at the carnivore table. And then we got people at, you know, the balanced table, right? The balance of a little bit of everything, right? It's like, well, those are divisions in church, and that's a foolish thing to be divided at. Even if people had very different opinions on diet, you should still be able to eat with anybody at church and not have a fight and not have a problem. One example of this, and I don't know if this is happening at our church, but I've known of plenty of examples, is people get paired up for soul winning and they get into a fight out soul winning. And it's like, I've known of examples of this happening. It's like, how do you get into a fight out soul winning? It's like you're doing literally like the most spiritual thing you could possibly do, but you're so much in the flesh that you fight with your brother or sister in Christ. It's like, what in the world? And it's just like, even if they say something that offends you, you know what? You can just let that pass and realize, you know what? We're trying to save people that Jesus died for, and this is more important, okay? Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Us that are saved, we are going to bow down before Jesus Christ in awe and respect of Jesus Christ. We're going to bow down before God, and we're going to be judged based on the rewards we get. No sins are ever coming up for a saved person because you have eternal life.
Amen.
Now, unsaved people, they're going to bow down before God to beg for mercy.
Right.
And there is going to be no mercy coming for them because they're going to spend forever in hell and they're going to be judged for all their sins they commit, the great white throne judgment, different than the believer's judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Now, I don't want you to be confused about judging your brother because I'm telling you not to judge your brother, but you know what? You need to have a proper balance on what I mean by that, okay? It's like sometimes people try to make it a point to find a statement by a preacher and then say, well, this is not true because of this. It's like, well, you need to have a proper perspective on things. Like recently, I saw it online. Like I don't try to get involved in online things, but a comment, I guess I preached a sermon years ago on John 15 about the branches basically being burned, meaning if you're someone who's saved but you're not going soul winning, you're basically taking up space, you're basically useless or whatever is what the Bible says in John 15. That is what the parable's about. And then people got like offended. And I remember people messaged me and they were offended by the sermon. I'm thinking, no soul winner would be offended by that.
Amen.
By the way, I still believe every word of that. That's what John 15 is about. I don't know how else to, you know, preach that, right? That's what it's talking about. But it's just like, they try to bring up vague examples like, well, what about someone? What about someone who's, you know, really sick and they're not able to go? You're saying that they're not right with God. It's like, come on. It's like it's obvious what that means, right? When I tore my ACL and I had surgery, I couldn't go soul winning for like 2 months, but I didn't get offended by sermons about preaching. Now, Brother Marlon messaged me like 1,000 times. He was offended by every... No, I'm just kidding, right? But it's just like, of course, you understand, there's exceptions to just about everything, right?
Right?
And it's like, you can hear something and understand, well, what was he actually meaning by that? Of course there's exceptions. But do I have to qualify everything I say up here? Like, I preached something, now let me spend 5 minutes giving you all of the exceptions. You know, if you don't go to church, you're not right with God. But wait a minute, let me give you 55 exceptions. That's not how you preach. Of course there's exceptions when you're sick and things such as that. Or when your wife's in labor, right? There's exceptions. We understand that. It's like, the only reason why you'd be offended, though, is if you have a reason to be offended.
Right.
That's reality. Amen. Matthew 7, verse 1. This is the most famous verse in the entire Bible now. This has passed John 3:16, and I'm dead serious. They did a study on this. This is now the most quoted verse in the entire Bible above John 3:16, except they only quote two words of the verse. Judge not. The most famous phrase in the entire Bible, judge not. It's like, and people try to tell you that. You're like, okay, do you know where it says that in the Bible? It's like, no. Do you know the context of that? Can you tell me the rest of the verse? You realize that's not the end of the verse? But they're just like, the Bible says, judge not, judge not, judge not, right? Just repeating what they've heard of, because of the fact they have something to hide. That's the reason why they would quote it. Judge not that ye be not judged. Because if you're judging someone, you're going to be judged. What does that mean? For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Okay, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. See, what the Bible's saying is this. If I were to look down on someone and make it a big point to gossip about somebody being, you know, worldly, well, I'm going to be judged in the same way both by other people, but also by God. Because God's going to show himself merciful to those that are merciful. Or one of the things that sometimes women can be guilty of, they will gossip about how another lady at the church is the biggest gossip. They'll tell all the other ladies in the church, this person is such a gossip at our church, right? It's like, they're gossiping about somebody else gossiping. And I'm just like, you know, what in the world, right? And it's just, and you know, this is usually true. Like, if somebody will point out other people, man, this person's so bitter, they're usually the most bitter person.
Right.
This person has so many problems. They usually, they're trying to compensate. They got the problems. And it's like, let us just bring out that old-fashioned mirror and put it right in front of you. And look at yourself and realize you're the one who has the problem, right? Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Here's what the Bible shows us here in verse 3, and we need to remember this. Usually when people see a small problem in someone else, they've got big problems in their own life. And like this is, and look, I've noticed this just in myself on a small level, that when I start to be not quite as right with God, maybe I'm not reading the Bible as much, I start to see all kinds of problems in other people. Isn't it weird how that works? But when I'm right with God, I don't even notice problems in other people. But it's just like, you know what, when somebody has a lot of problems, they'll point out a small flaw in somebody else, and it's like to vindicate themselves. It's like they have this guilty conscience that you just can't help but speak these things, right? And you know, whenever you see people that are trying to criticize somebody on something really small, usually they've got big problems that they need to fix. That's reality. And that's what I've seen in churches. It's reality. Verse 4, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So the Bible says this, it's not that it's wrong to judge, but you need to get rid of your own personal problems before you can clearly see to judge somebody else. If you've got a lot of problems, you're not going to accurately see the problems in somebody else. You need to get that beam out of your own eye first, the Bible says. Okay. Now turn to Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Sounds like we got a cool guy outside trying to impress someone, right? You never know what's going to happen around here, right? I still remember that time, like, I'm preaching, and it sounded like some sort of rat or mice was up here. Like, what in the world, right? Because here's the thing. In the U.S., rats are pretty small. Here, like, they eat cats. It's like, my cat died last night. What happened? The rat got a hold of it. And it's like, what in the world? And look, I've seen those rats. It was kind of scary. I saw this giant rat, you know, crawling in a sewer, and I'm like, oh my goodness, right? Verse 7, Romans 14, or actually, hold on 1 second. Romans 14, verse 13. Point number one, examples of doubtful disputations. Point two, judging your brother. Point three, just having care for your brother or your sister in Christ. Romans 14, verse 13. And let me just say this on the last point. Be very careful about the hyper-spiritual people. The people that are just, they literally are holier than thou. They'll bring up something that's very vague and act super righteous and everything. Those are usually the people that have some real skeletons in their closet. I mean, they'll talk about something that's really ridiculous. Like, for example, is the back of your neck nakedness? While they're committing fornication, it's like, good night. Talk about being hyper. Look, the people that are hyper-spiritual, those are the people that got real problems in their lives.
Right.
And it's like they try to justify by coming up with something. I mean, the back of your neck? I mean, what are we, Muslims? It's like, good night. Do we got to cover up our entire faces, even one of our eyes? And just like, you know, just one little eye can be seen, or it's a sin, it's nakedness. Well, where is that in the Bible? It's ridiculous. Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And the Bible says, instead of judging your brother, make it a point that you're not putting a stumbling block in somebody's way to cause them to sin or to do wrong, okay? Now, the context here, if somebody thinks something's a sin, you know what? You don't want to try to convince them to eat a burger if they think it's wrong. And we're going to see why in a second, but here's the thing about this. Don't worry about other people's lives. Just make sure you're not living your life in a way that would cause other people to sin, do sin and do wrong, okay? Basically, judge yourself. An example of this is that when you hear a sermon preached and you walk away and your first thought is, brother so-and-so really needed that sermon. That was great. Sister so-and-so really needed that sermon. That was great. You know what that tells me? That you needed that sermon.
Right.
It's like, man, that sermon about reading the Bible, so uncertain. Because here's the thing. When I hear sermons about why I need to go soul winning, I'm like, man, I needed that rebuke. I need to make sure I stay at it. Man, I need to keep reading the Bible. I need to keep praying. I need to keep getting worldliness out of my life. But when you hear sermons and you just always try to apply it to somebody else, it's like, you probably need to hear it. That's reality. Verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, look, take the context of the entire chapter. It's not saying, well, you know what, anything you do, it's not unclean. Well, there's examples given at the very beginning of the chapter. The direct context was referring to food, and that's what he's referring back to. Obviously, there are certain things that are sin. The Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. There are still unclean things, okay? But it's referring to food, okay? And basically, food or anything related like that, we're talking about things that are not sinful. Nothing unclean of itself, but notice this, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You say, what does that mean, Brother Sucky? Well, let's say somebody is a drug addict. Well, drugs are unclean, unhealthy, they're sin, they're wrong, right? I don't think there's any question about it. Somebody's like a coke addict or a heroin addict. That's a sin. That's wrong. Somebody's a drunk. That's a sin. That's a wrong. There's plenty of things in the Bible that would teach us that. But let's say somebody is against eating a burger. Here's the thing. Even though it's not a sin to eat a burger, if they think it's a sin and then they choose to eat it anyway, it's unclean to them. It would actually be a sin for them. Because of the fact they have a standard, this is a sin, and they choose to break it because of peer pressure, here's the thing, they actually are sinning, even though it's not, you know, a sin inherently. Do you understand the difference? So here's the thing, if somebody at our church has a different diet and they think these things are wrong or sinful, you don't want to try to force them to eat those things because you're going to actually cause them to sin, even though it's not inherently sinful, okay? Look, my standard is you're allowed to eat any meat, any drink that's not like alcohol or something directly stated. I'm not against drinking coffee. If somebody's against drinking coffee, though, I'm not going to try to trick them into drinking a Starbucks cappuccino or whatever, right? It's just like it's okay for them to have that standard. We don't want to cause them to sin or do wrong because it is unclean to them, even though it's not really unclean, if you understand what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says here. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. So I don't believe that if a vegetarian joins our church, we've got to quit eating meat in front of them. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. But I do believe this. We should not try to force them to eat meat if they're against it. And so how could you destroy your brother? Well, let's say somebody's new to our church, trying to make them feel, let me just take you out to eat. And you take them out, don't worry, I'll pay for it. Let me just order for you. And then all you do is order them meat. And you know they're a vegetarian. It's like you're not walking charitably. You're an obnoxious jerk, right? It's like, that's the sort of example we're saying. It's just like, you know, if somebody has a different opinion, let them have that opinion. You don't have to tell them they're wrong. Look, we all hear opinions sometimes that we don't agree with. But let somebody have their opinion. They can have a different opinion than you. And you know what? We seriously get so obsessed with things that are not right or wrong either way. It's just someone's personal choice. And we make it a big deal that you've got to be just like me. No, they don't.
Right.
We're different people, and people can have different opinions, and that is perfectly okay. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You say, what does that mean? Well, go to Matthew 23. I want to show this to you fully. And here's the thing. The first sermon's a bit longer. The second sermon's going to be a bit shorter here today. It's going to balance out. Because I want you to understand, there are a lot of rules in the Bible. And if somebody is right with God, then you know what? They are going to really follow those rules pretty well. However, somebody can follow those rules really well without being right with God. So here's the thing. If somebody's really living a righteous life on the outside, that might be an outpouring of what's on the inside, or it might just be fake. So here's the thing. It's not just meat and drink, because honestly, the reality is God wants you to get right on the inside. If you get right on the inside, you're going to get right on the outside. But just because somebody's right on the outside doesn't mean they're right on the inside.
Right.
It could be fake. I mean, good night. It's like how many politicians and presidents, they wear nice suits and everything. They're well-spoken. They seem so kind with their words. We just want to help the people. We care about them. I just want to be a servant, you know, or whatever. And it's like on the inside, it's like, yeah. Right? Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So the Pharisees and the scribes, they were right on the outside. They came dressed nicely. Everything they did was proper, and they looked great. But Jesus says, on the inside, you're wicked. Okay? And he says, cleanse what's on the inside, and the outside's going to cleanse itself. This is why I'm not super obsessed when people are new to our church that they've got to start following all these rules. Because the reality is, if I'm right and I'm preaching what the Bible says, if they're coming to our church long enough, they're going to start changing the outside because the inside is cleansed. You know, example of this, when I was in college, I had a staph infection in my leg. Because the Bible gives examples we can understand. And I had a staph infection in my leg. And, you know, I don't like going to the doctor, so I really went too long before I went to the doctors. But, you know, they had to cut open, you know, the leg, and there's, you know, all this blood and everything. And they put a sharp object in my leg. I think they called it packing the leg. And they said, we cannot let it heal from the outside in, because if it heals on the outside without being healed on the inside, you could have a real problem. So they kept something sharp inside, and every few days they'd bring it out a couple millimeters. And basically, it slowly healed from the inside out. Because what could happen is the outside of the leg could basically heal, but the inside's not healed and you have a big problem. Here's the thing. It's a bit dangerous to try to force someone to follow rules if they don't even believe that in their heart. They need to be ready for that, okay? And so look, of course, I want to see people make changes, but I want it to be sincere and real. Not that they're trying to impress somebody. They actually see what the Bible says. They want to do what's right. And the outside is a true manifestation of what's on the inside. Not just fake, but they actually mean it on the inside. Okay? And go back to, oh, go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Now, here's the thing. We understand. The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance. Now, whether you think that's right or wrong, it's a fact. Man looketh on the outward appearance. If I showed up here today and I was just wearing shorts and a t-shirt, you're going to form certain opinions about that. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong to not wear clothing like this when you preach, but here's the thing. If I dress in a certain way, you'd form opinions. You dress respectfully, people respect you. You go to an interview, right? You know, you got a job interview. What do you wear? Well, you know, I wear shorts and sandals and a t-shirt. Well, good luck getting that job. Because they are going to form judgments on you. It's like when I was in the U.S., I always wore suits to interviews because I wanted to try to take it as seriously as possible so they would look at me and say, man, and I wanted them to have the reaction, man, he's going a little bit overboard. It's like, that's good. Especially when you're interviewing for math positions because it's just like, you know, structure and everything. It's like, okay, you know, it's like it's better to be overdressed than underdressed, right? Now, it's not a sin, though, to wear shorts and a T-shirt, but here's the thing. I'm not going to preach in shorts and a T-shirt. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but here's the thing about this. What we have a tendency to do is when we make changes, we expect everybody else to make the same change immediately. It's like, you know, let's say a lady quits dressing in a certain way, and then the next week she just tries to get everybody else to change how they're dressed. It's like, you just changed, right? It's like, give people a chance to grow. Give them time, okay? And we have a tendency to try to just get people to change. Look, you have to realize if they get right on the inside, they're going to get right on the outside. And here's the thing. This is a church where people will hear the Word of God preached.
Amen.
I've been at churches where I felt like I had to like teach them the Word of God because they weren't necessarily getting it at church. That's not this church, though.
Right.
All you have to do is get someone to come to church, and guess what? They're going to get the entire Bible. We preach all of the Bible, okay? So just trust God's system and make sure you're respectful and give people a chance to grow. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. And Paul says, you know what, I'm not even trying to judge myself. You know, we're going to find out when the time comes, basically, what we're getting rewarded for and what we did that was right. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Here's the thing. God is going to reveal what's on the inside of all of us that are saved. And what you can do actions on the outside, but not that you actually mean it on the inside. And you don't just get rewards for the actions you do, but also, did you actually do it for the right reason? I mean, if you're just doing things to be seen of man, if you're going to pray in the streets to be seen of man, it's just like you might have done a good thing by praying, but you know what? It's for the wrong reason. You're not going to get a reward, the Bible says. You need to make sure that the way we live our lives, we do it for the right reason. We're not trying to get praise of man, but we're just trying to do what the Bible says to do. Go to Romans 14. We'll close up. Romans 14. And this kind of ties into last week's sermon. I mean, just about loving your brother. Right, it's sort of like a continuation, but that's what Romans 14 is talking about. Where basically, I mean, don't be an obnoxious jerk, right? That's kind of a title you could call this sermon. You know, don't be an obnoxious jerk. Have your opinion. I mean, keep your opinion to yourself, basically, right? That's kind of what the context of the chapter is, and it gives many reasons why. And I want you to understand the difference. If somebody's committing a major sin, it's not like, well, I can't judge them. Because that's how people try to talk. They're like, well, you know what? You can't judge them for getting an abortion. Well, the Bible says that's murder.
Amen.
So here's the thing. That's not even my judgment. That's God's judgment.
Right.
I mean, if somebody commits adultery, well, you can't judge them. No, wait a minute. I'm not judging when I say thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm quoting a verse where God already made the judgment. Okay? And so that's not even judging them. Okay? That's just showing what the judgment is. But people get mad at the messenger because of what God said. Okay. Notice what it says in Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So look, when we're going to say things or live our lives, make sure we're trying to edify people. We have a spirit of peace, not to try to cause fights and disputes. But we're trying to live our lives where we're basically uniting us as a church, not dividing by causing these arguments and disputes about things, okay? Verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. So the Bible says here in verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God, okay? So here's the thing, and meat's not referring directly to meat, but it's referring to food in general here, but basically, if you have a certain diet, even if you're right that you can eat all things, don't destroy the work of God to prove that you're right.
Amen.
Look, if somebody has a different opinion, let's say somebody's against eating foods, they're a vegetarian, they're a vegan, by trying to rebuke them or show them why they're wrong, you might cause them to quit the church and never grow and not be a part of our church. Don't destroy the work of God because of a different opinion about diet. I mean, doesn't it really seem stupid to do? And yet, this is a big thing that causes fights. This is why the Bible mentions it. You know, doubtful disputations, this is a real issue with churches. And as far as I know, I'm not aware of it being a big issue here, but you know what? Things like this can be a big opinion, right? I mean, I'm sure, and I'm not doing this in this sermon, and I don't want you to discuss this out, but if I were to try to form a poll opinion of what is your opinion about President Marcos, good or bad, you know what? We'd have a very divided room. People would have different opinions. Or what's your opinion about President Duterte? There would be different opinions. You know what? Is that really worth getting into a big fight about? I mean, is it? I mean, it really isn't. And I understand we all have opinions about stuff, okay? But is it worth making a big fight about something where it's not even a Bible topic? It's not a Bible. No, it's not worth doing. It's better just to avoid things like that. And look, if somebody says something that you disagree with or goes against your opinion, my personal standpoint, what I try to do is just kind of ignore it and just think, yeah, they weren't trying to be rude, even though I disagree with what they say. And look, I hear people say things I disagree with all the time. But, you know, it's not the end of the world if they say something that I don't agree with. Okay, it's perfectly fine. Don't destroy the work of God because of a different opinion on something. All things indeed are pure. So here's the thing. Once again, you can eat all things, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. The person who's against eating that, it would be wrong for them to eat it if they think it's wrong. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Now, here's the thing. I don't believe this means we cannot eat meat in front of a vegetarian, because that would go against our own free will and just many things in the Bible. But don't make it a point to try to force someone to eat meat if they're against it, okay? Keep eating your own food, but don't try to force somebody else into something that they don't believe or agree with, okay? Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. So it's better for someone who's against eating something to just not eat it. Look, if you're against drinking Coca-Cola, we're going to have Coca-Cola here for lunch, just don't drink it. But also don't try to tell people why it's wrong to drink Coke. Or if somebody says, oh, did you want Coke? Well, no, I don't want to have Coke because of the fact I believe it's a sin because of this, this. It's like, whoa, calm down, all right? You don't need to preach your sermon on this, okay? It's perfectly fine for people if they want to or don't want to drink pop, okay? And so it says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. So let people make their own decisions on stuff. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the Bible says this, if there is a food and you're not sure, you question whether it's sinful to eat it, you shouldn't eat it. Because you are sinning because it's not of faith, the Bible says. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, even if it's not inherently sinful. I mean, if you think it's wrong to eat ham, then you know what? I mean, like, for example, we gave hams for gifts for Christmas or something like that? Look, if your opinion is it's wrong to eat ham, then, hey, you know, either you could go home and throw it away or you know, if you don't feel comfortable giving it to someone else or just... But here's what you don't want to do, though, is just tell me, well, you know, I didn't eat the ham and here's why. Because that would be very rude to me. And nobody did that, but it's just like, I would be pretty offended if it's like we bought somebody a ham and then it's like, it's one thing if you go home and I'm not aware of it, but it's another thing if you're just bustles. It's just like, oh, wow, thanks a lot. I appreciate you letting me know. I'll make it a point never to buy anything for you ever, ever, ever again. Right? And it's just like, you know what? It's okay to have strong opinions about things. The problem is when you make it a big issue and cause fights about it. Look, we all have... And here's the thing. Sometimes you see things, and I'm not someone who gets really involved in online things with other churches. I'm sure everybody's aware of that. You know, I usually really just don't get involved or preach about them or whatever. But, you know, when situations happen in terms of like-minded churches, let me be honest, I always have an opinion. I just don't tell people my opinion. Because it has nothing to do with me. It just doesn't involve me. And look, I have opinions. I mean, don't we all have opinions about anything that comes up? Of course, we form our own personal opinions. Here's the thing, though. Does everybody need to hear what your opinion is? Or is it just better to keep it to yourself between you and God? Or you and your wife? Or you and your husband? You know, you and your direct family? Is it worth making it a big deal and telling everybody else about it. No, it's not. You're just going to cause fights. You're going to cause problems. As a church, once again, we want to be united together as a church, and that's how we get 300 salvations in a week. If we had all these fights, look, I want you to realize, people like the sermons where I'm just ripping something apart. One week I'm ripping abortion, the next week I'm ripping the Jews, then the Hindus, and the Catholics, and the Protestants, just every week preaching against something. Here's the thing, though. If that was the spirit of our church all the time, it would cause us to get in fights all the time, too, and everything. And it's like, as much as we enjoy those sermons because we love to scream amen, right? Here's the thing. We need sermons that are just edifying. And this chapter is about having peace with one another. And look, it's not always worth getting into fights with other people. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to see your word on this topic of Romans 14. Thank you for allowing us to be a church that is united and is doing great things for you right now. Help us to always have that spirit about our church, God. Obviously, we're all growing. We all make mistakes. All of us make rude comments from time to time. Help us to be willing to forgive our brothers who might say something rude. Help us not personally to say anything that's rude. And help us to be very careful with strong opinions we have where it's okay for someone to have a different opinion. And help us remember these things and continue to bless our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For last song, turn to song number 52, song number 52, Zion's Hill. Song number 52, let's sing Zion's Hill. Let's sing it on the first.
There waits for me a glad tomorrow.
Amen. So 10 minutes for break tayo then.